That's right. The show that never gets out of your nose, brain damage, or gets out of your head. Believe me, I've tried to get rid of it. Can't. It's 12:02. You're listening to the place where we understand sick behavior, for better or for worse. WUSB Stony Brook. You know what my name is. I don't know what your name is. And in some cases, I don't particularly care. But on the other hand, you guys like me this way for some strange reason. So, without further ado, we will get the topic going for tonight's show. And we are in real time for the moment, and we will move into the dilated time in just a few minutes or so. But I do have on hand, waiting, our ongoing brain damage guest. And actually, he's been functioning as sort of a co-host lately, which is perfectly okay with me. Let's see. More real than Ed McMahon. More sophisticated than Andy Richter. Here is. And less overbearing than Regis Philbin. Here is the poetry guy. Hey.
Hey, Matt.
Okay, so what do we have on hand for tonight? Let's explain to the listening public exactly what we have up our sleeves as we continue on this odyssey, this literary odyssey we started last week.
All right. First, I'd like to know if I could read a short poem.
Go for it.
Okay. Now, this is a poem called Dark Mother Scream. And it's by Andrei Voznesensky. Dark Mother's Scream is a Siberian dance. Cry from prison or a yell for help. Or perhaps God has another word for it. Ominous little grin. Dark Mother's Scream. Dark Mother's Scream is the ecstasy of the sexual gut. We let the past sink into Dark Mother Scream also. You, we. Ooh, with her eyes closed, woman moans in ecstasy. Dark Mother Scream. Dark Mother Scream is the original mother of languages. It is silly to trust mind, silly to argue against it. Prognosticating by computers, we leave out Dark Mother Scream. How's it going? Dark Mother Scream. Mother Scream. Mother Scream. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it. The teachers can't handle Dark Mother Scream. That is why Lermontov is untranslatable. When the storm sang in Yelabuga, what did it say to her? Dark Mother Scream. Meanwhile, go on dancing, drunker and drunker. Shagadam Magadam, Dark Mother Scream. Don't forget. Rome fell, not having grasped the phrase, Dark Mother Scream.
Wow. And obviously the writer is Russian.
I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah. What was the name again of the writer?
Andrei Voznesensky.
Yep, definitely Russian.
Yeah?
Definitely Russian. Wonder how it sounds in the original Russian, though. It's pretty wild in, it's pretty wild in English. But there's another terrific Russian poet from recent years. You know Yevgeny Yevtushenko?
Yevtushenko. No, I haven't heard of him.
Oh, great. He is terrific. There's one particular poem that he wrote, Babi Yar, about the massacre at that place in then-occupied Ukraine. Definitely worth a look. It's now, the thing that's confusing, the way the Cyrillic and the Roman alphabets transliterate, he could be listed under Y for Yevtushenko or E for Evtushenko, because the E sound in Russian is sometimes pronounced Ye and sometimes pronounced E, but it's an E. It's written as an E.
Written as an E.
Yeah.
Okay, Ev. Do you know how to spell that, or?
Okay, it's YEVTUSHENKO.
ENKO. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yevtushenko, definitely check him out. Okay, so let's set the pattern for today's show. The one rule, and yes, we are allowed one rule under the unofficial WUSB rule quota, is that we will start. You will start the story with two sentences, okay, and then ask a question. The next caller, the next person who goes on, has to answer the question in two sentences, and then ask another one.
Right, and on we'll go like that.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Okay. Now, I contributed to the story last time, but I will try to keep my contributions down to a minimum in this case.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Right then, I'll start us off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody involved in this story is on an expedition which is taking place in a forest. I am the only one who has a compass. Okay, now the question. What are you carrying?
Okay, with that, now do you want me to leave you on hold or do you want me to just continue with the callers after the break?
I'll hang up and then, you know, if I'm going to call again, I'll call on this line.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, now I'm going to go to a break, folks, and then we will return in dilated time. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll talk to you in a bit.
Like a perfumed woman, 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 like a perfume.
Hi, folks. Back in a second. Back in a jiffy. Put Dawn Lawn back.
Woman, like a perfumed woman. Like a perfumed woman. Like a perfumed woman. Like a perfumed woman. Like a perfumed woman, like a perfumed woman, like a perfumed woman, like a
what are you carrying?
Woman.
Could it be a perfumed
like a
woman?
Perfume.
Well, anything's permitted here on Brain Damage. So, without further ado, we will do what we do so well. Go to the callers. Where do you want to go from here? Okay, we are going through a forest. The poetry guy is the only one carrying a compass. What are you carrying?
I am carrying, rations.
That's one sentence. What's your second sentence?
And the toothbrush.
And your question?
My question is, what if only two people, there are only two people left on the world and the girl that you were with, or the guy, was fat. Very fat.
Okay. Okay, gotta go to the next one.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, what do you do next?
I didn't even hear him, man. He's low.
Okay, he was coming in really low?
Yeah.
Okay, he is carrying a knapsack and... Well, no, was it a knapsack? Rations and a toothbrush. And his question is, if there are only two people left on the Earth... And one, you're one of the two. What would happen?
What
would happen if the other person, your companion, We're fat.
If he was?
We're fat. She. I'm assuming from his question that the person is of the opposite sex.
Yes.
Or at least of a sex preferable to you.
Right. If she was fat?
She was fat, yeah.
Okay,
you only have two sentences.
Oh, man. We're fat. Oh, man.
It's hard, I know.
If she were fat, I would stay away from her.
If she were fat, I would stay away from her. Okay, that's one sentence. You got one more.
And I would not share my food with her.
And your question?
What would she eat? What would she find to eat?
Okay.
If I'm saying, what would she eat if I was the one with the food?
Yeah, I'll put you on hold because I may need you later.
Okay.
Okay? Still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm going to park you over somewhere here, Jim.
No, they'd ask you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, okay, stay there.
Alright.
Next.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, what did that last guy say? What was his question?
Okay. His companion is fat, and he and she are the last two people on the earth. He says, I will run away from her, and I will not share my food with her. And his question was, what will she eat?
What will she eat?
Yeah.
Okay, first, before I start my story, I'd like to introduce myself.
Go for it.
Me, Christopher J. Blank.
Christopher J. Blank.
You remember me?
The Christopher part I remember. I don't remember the blank part. I just drew a blank, I guess.
Known as Cookie.
Oh, yeah.
I started school again, and I have a great reputation. And I was fat, but right now I am only 8 pounds overweight.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'd like to talk to that. All right, fine. What would she eat? All right.
Two sentences, and then you got to come up with a question of your own.
Think 4 seconds. Oh boy. I got it. Ready?
Yes.
All right. My companion would eat lots of forage crops in the ground, which had been planted there by the Navajo Indians.
Sentence number one. What's your second one?
I would rethink my other sentence, and I would overcome my bias, walk up to her, help her with her forage crops, open up my rations, build a campfire, and we would have a nice dinner in the woods, being the only two people left on the continent, on the world, and then we would start to repopulate it.
Okay, that's the second sentence. Now, your question.
I need a question. Okay, will my companion go use my Richard Simmons workout tapes that I have in my knapsack with the portable TV and VCR player and power generator in the woods so she can become thin so I can have better time?
Okay, we move on.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. What do you do now?
Okay, she will then cheat on her diet after doing so for 2 weeks with truffles, and then, is that one?
Yeah.
Okay, and then she will, will pleasure me with the greatest of ease.
Will what?
Will pleasure me
with the greatest of ease. With the greatest of ease. Okay, now for your question.
Okay. Let me see. How long until the airplane that just flew over us will see us and save us from this hell-forsaken problem that we have in?
Okay, the only trouble is you're the last two people on Earth, so who'd be in the airplane?
People from Mars.
I just broke the rule. Okay, we'll move on. Thanks. So, when will they be rescued, effectively, I guess is the question. So, let's see, I'm looking for something here to kill time with. 632-6901 is the number if you want to contribute to the goings-on here. And I will be with you in just a moment.
Max Moore, detective in Moneytown, here in one of my favorite disguises, a loose robe and an academic cap with a square top and tassel. Assignment, commencement speech. Is this on?
Whoa.
Students of Solid State University, what can I say?
Whatever it is, make it quick.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Pay your bills on time. Thank you. You want more? A history of late payments can dent your credit, haunting you when you want that car loan or credit check for an apartment lease. Now, go out there and pay your bills. And get your credit where credit is due. Take life one purchase at a time and never eat anything larger than your head. Respect your endorphins. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. I left them pumped up and confused, ready for the real world. Want more information on graduating to good credit? Call 800-833-9666 and ask for Max Moore, detective in Moneytown.
And we're back. So, we move on, and one thing about this, it's very hard to determine what is going to come up next on the storyline here, because it's so unpredictable. But isn't that obvious? Whatever. I have a cold. Bear with me. Hi.
Yeah. All right. Well, wait. We're on the plane now, right?
Okay. The plane, a plane or some kind of rescue ship. When will they be rescued? Two sentences, then a question.
We be rescued when Jamal saves us.
And then?
And then, we go away and we eat, Frosted Flakes.
And then what's your question?
What happens, when you get food poisoning?
Okay. Next.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, where do we go from here?
What's the last guy's question?
Last guy's question is what happens when you get food poisoning?
What happens when you get food poisoning?
Yeah, I can answer that, but it's your turn.
I go up to my female companion and I say, you got food poisoning. Didn't you read the ingredients on that last truffle you had? And she reads them out loud to me by saying, a zinc trisodium aspartate, sorbitol and bisulfate, oxide beta-carotene, lactic acid carabine. And grade A milk emulsified, maltodextrin alkaline, silicon dioxide, flavored sugar. It's all right because I don't need my diet. I don't need to stick to it. Here is my question for you. Two people left. What you gonna do? Goodbye.
I'm impressed. Okay. That's a question.
I didn't really understand what he just said.
Well, what happens when you get food poisoning? Read the ingredients on the label. And he went through them. And he said, two people left on Earth, what you gonna do?
Well, okay, if you notice the shovel behind the hula hoop tree, you will see that there is a little map, and that after digging 5 paces east, you will find a big box containing all the records of how to find NASA. And NASA is where all the people are hidden, because this was all a big joke.
Okay.
That one?
Yeah, that's one.
Okay.
Now number two.
And then, And then next to the palm tree, there is a secret phone, marked secret phone. And then you then call your mom and ask if you can hang out with the people from Earth.
Okay, now for your question.
Okay, if Jamal is the head of all the scams, what happens if Tyrone takes out his Glock?
Oh, we'll find out. Thanks. What happens if Tyrone takes out his Glock?
Yeah, hi. My name is John.
With resolve.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I next?
Yeah, you're next.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. I will then tell Tyrone to put the weapon away. This is not a very nice time because this is a little joke, all right? This is only a game on air. We have to calm ourselves down, okay?
Okay.
Is that one?
That's one.
Okay, two would be, I will then apprehend the victim, and then I will bring him to Mars Precinct, where he shall seek psychiatric help.
Okay, that's two. Now, what's your question?
My question would be, at the psychiatric hospital, Tyrone finds that there's a very attractive waitress. serving him potatoes and hash browns.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if she takes her mask off and she's a wild beast from Mars?
Okay. That's it? Okay, now we're going to go to a break. And I will be back again in about, let's see, what we got here. Looking at lengths here. About 2 minutes. See you then. Right. We will see you then.
Hi, this is Gail Polivy
and Jennifer Lynch
from the Lavender Women Radio Show, the show for and about the lesbian community.
Music, culture, and talk.
We're here every Thursday evening from 6 until 7 p.m.
And we're queer all the time.
WUSB 90.1, the Lavender Women Radio Show, every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
The show for and about the lesbian community.
You said that already. We can use...
Sorry for the dead air, folks. Have a very useless cart in here. Such is life. So, we move on. We are ready. Okay, where do we go from here?
Okay, what was the question?
Okay, what if Tyrone discovers that this waitress is an ugly beast from Mars?
He takes her to the supply room and impregnates her anyway.
Okay, that's one sentence.
She has the mutant child, and it kills the doctor and everyone in the hospital immediately.
And what's the question?
Who can stop it?
Okay, thanks. Next.
Okay. Well, I got that, Tyrone,
uh-huh.
He finds out that this, and they end up battling with it.
Okay, what's the question?
What happens, when they're in battle, when they're in combat?
Okay. Next.
I didn't hear the question yet.
Okay, what happens when Captain Wolf, what's-his-face, and Tyrone end up battling this mutant beast that Tyrone fathered?
Who is Tyrone?
We don't know. He just came up out of nowhere.
I know who Tyrone is. Do you want to know who Tyrone is?
Do you
remember a few weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
There was a guy named Eric hosting the show.
Yes.
A weird guy.
Yeah.
Some prank caller called up and said his name was Tyrone.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we're using him as a character in a story, so I guess it's sweet revenge. Now,
revenge? He called up and put himself in the story.
Anyway, yeah, probably did.
All right, what was the question?
Means we can just get him into trouble, that's all. So, Tyrone, what happens in this combat between Tyrone, Captain,
Wolf,
whatever, and, the mutant beast?
All right, let me think for a minute.
That Tyrone fathered.
Tyrone followed this mutant beast?
Yes.
Yes, I heard that. Let me think for just 1 second here.
Okay.
Who is your favorite superhero?
Oh, God. Use one of the X-Men.
Which I do not. I'm not familiar with the X-Men.
Okay. Let's see. Use Spider-Man?
I do not like him. How about Incredible Hulk?
It'll do.
All of a sudden, flying out of nowhere, Tyrone and Captain Wolf looked up into the air, and who was it? But the notorious Incredible Hulk, with his green hide shining. He said, I will take care of the mutant child. But first he got rid of those two meddlers, Tyrone and Mr. Wolf, whatever. And then he took the mutant child and threw him into the ocean.
Hey,
because
hey,
everyone knows.
Too many sentences.
What?
Too many sentences. What's your question?
He threw him into the ocean. All right, my question is, if, as everyone knows, this mutant child is allergic to water and dies, what was the purpose of this joke made by NASA, and will our original characters ever get back in into this story. Is that good?
Good question. Okay.
All right.
Next.
I don't get what his question was.
Will the original characters ever get back into the story?
No.
Okay, now your two sentences.
Is the Incredible Hulk still alive?
I guess.
All right, so the Power Rangers come down?
Oh, God.
And they battle Incredible Hulk, and they throw him in the ocean.
Okay. Let's see, who gets the Pink Ranger? That's my
question.
Only reason to watch that show.
Nah, she's all right.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, that's... Well, what is your question?
Who gets the Pink Ranger?
Who gets the Pink Ranger? That's my question.
Well, who gets the Red Ranger?
Who gets the Red Ranger? Okay.
Better yet, who gets the Yellow Ranger, the Chinese one?
She's Vietnamese. She's cute.
No, she's not.
She'll do. Anyway.
Later.
Anyway. Now it's deteriorated into adolescent posturing. We will continue with some more adolescent posturing. That's right. I hate these
Hello,
cards.
Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB, SUNY Stony Brook 91.90. Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB, Sunny, SUNY. Hello. Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to... Hello, this is Henry Rollins, and you're listening to WUSB, SUNY Stony Brook 90.1 FM.
Hello, this is Dave Prowse of Star Wars, and you too can learn the true power of the Force if you listen to Destinies, the voice of science fiction, every Friday, 11:30 p.m., on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook. May the Force be with you.
Maybe I shouldn't drop so many hints around here. 12:32 here on WUSB, the place where we understand sick behavior. That's right. Okay. Now we move on. Where do we go from here?
Okay, what was the last question?
Who gets the Yellow Ranger?
Oh, okay. I guess Cake Man gets the Yellow Ranger.
Cake Man. Okay, that's sentence number one. What's sentence number two?
And together they breed a new superhero. They breed Super Saber Man.
Okay, and what's your question?
When Super Saver Man helps everyone with their, in their penny savers, what happens?
Okay. Thanks. Next.
Yes, hello?
Yeah.
Am I on the air now?
Yes.
What happened to Tony Thomas?
He didn't do a song tonight.
Yes, what question did he ask?
Okay, his question is, Super Saver Man, the superhero child of the Yellow Ranger and Cake Man... What else? When he starts helping people out in the Penny Savers, what happens?
Cake Man is very quaint.
Of course.
Well, Super Saver Man.
Yeah.
Delivers a Penny Saver to the house of someone who orders a plutonium neutrino particle accelerator, and it is found out that the Incredible Hulk is really under control of two lab mice trying to take over the world.
Okay, that's two sentences. What's your question?
Will Pinky and the Brain succeed? They're Pinky and the Brain.
Get real. Hi.
Yeah.
Will Pinky and the Brain succeed?
What? Excuse me?
Will Pinky and the Brain succeed in taking over the world?
Who are they?
Who knows? A lab rat and some,
It's illegal, then. They're not allowed to put fake people in.
Okay, yeah, okay, new rule. No, well, wait a minute. Power Rangers are fake.
No, but they're on TV. They're legit. At least they have, like, character names. Hello?
Yeah, but they're about... Well, then... Okay, then let's put the Mutant Ninja Turtles on, too. Come on, let's...
Hey.
Let's get a little bit more sophisticated than that.
Okay, so what was the plot? What was going on?
What will happen... Will Pinky and the Brain succeed?
Okay, the end, my sentences
Two sentences.
Look, Pinky and the Brain will not succeed because they accidentally walk into a lava pit where they melt and they're no longer in the story. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay, now second sentence.
The next sentence is, Cake Man then sees a little sign which says, look to the left. While looking to the left, he gets punched by Mr. Cake Egghead, which is his former father's uncle's former roommate.
Uh-huh. Okay, what's your question?
My question will be, if Cake Egghead sees the magic pendant on Cake Man's neck, will he then hug him and say, hey, Pop, give me a cigar?
Okay. And with that, I will play a record. That's right. We do actually occasionally play music on Brain Damage. And this may influence the direction of the story, and it may not, but the Neighborhood Texture Jam decided to go off on our good friend, Rush Limbaugh. And this is what he has to say. In the meantime, dial up 632-6901 so I can get an idea of what you want to do with this thing. Rush Limbaugh! I didn't cue it right. But I love making those noises. Now, the Neighborhood Texture Jam. Okay, do we have any more contributions to this ongoing thing on Brain Damage? Let's find out. Yo!
Yeah, I got a part of the story.
Go for it.
He says, hey, Pop, give me a cigar.
Uh-huh.
And why don't you go out, because I got a coupon, and go get me some Hidden Treasure cereal.
Okay, that's two sentences. Now, what do you got for a question?
What's the tour inside?
Hidden Treasure cereal. Okay. Next.
Well, what was the question?
What was the toy inside the Hidden Treasure cereal?
Okay. The toy was an animated doll that insulted the guy who owned it and said, your mother, she's older than you. and then the guy walked down the street, and on the end of the street, there was a brook with a tree on it. So the question is, if a tree falls in the woods, is there a fjord?
Pinky, get up.
Hi.
Yeah.
Next. Jerk. Hey.
Hello, what was the question?
The question was, if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a fjord?
Does it make a what?
A fjord.
A fjord.
It's something in Norway. No. Two sentences.
I would say, no, it does not make a noise because Cake Man saw a little Walkman in his pocket, which he was playing Marilyn Manson on.
Okay, and what's your question?
Okay. After listening to Cake and Sodomy, did he then eat Cake Man?
Okay. Next.
Wait, I gotta wait till the thing's over. All right, after listening to the Cake song,
yeah,
he reaches into his pocket and finds tweezers.
Uh-huh.
And with these tweezers, he reaches up to the sky and pulls out a magic fingernail.
Okay, what's the question?
With this magic fingernail, how should he use it?
Okay. How should he use a magic fingernail?
Who used the magic fingernail?
How should he use the person use the magic fingernail?
Person should use the magic fingernail to, in order, the person should use the magic fingernail to kill Rush Limbaugh and many other corporate.
Okay, that's one. That's one sentence. What's the other?
Well, this while the coup d'etat is happening in the U.S., North Korea invades South Korea.
Okay, what's the question?
In the ensuing world anarchy, I'm the president.
Who becomes president?
Yes.
Okay. Me. Hi.
Hi. Well, after whoever becomes president, he ends up dying.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
one.
Tyrone rises from the grave and takes over the world again.
What's the question?
When he meets together with, since, well, Captain Wolf Nipplechip is still alive, when they meet together and form the ultimate superpower, what happens?
Okay. And with that, 632-6901, and something really great has occurred. There are no lights flashing. Isn't this wonderful? Let's see. What can we do to kill some time here? Actually, what we should say is it's not really killing time. It's more like putting it out of its misery.
Hi there. This is Adam West of Batman, and you too can feel like a hero if you listen to Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction every Friday at 11:30 p.m. on 90.1 FM, WUSB Stony Brook. Same bat time, same bat station.
Welcome back. 12:43. Here we go. Okay, where do we go from here?
Nick Kyprios, he's my favorite player.
Okay, where do we go? Yo.
Yeah, what was the last question?
Yeah. Last question was... what was the last question? What happens after... What happens after in the ensuing world anarchy after North Korea invades South Korea... As if it hadn't happened before.
Jerome.
Huh?
What, Jerome? Somebody said Jerome.
Oh, whatever. I have no idea. I'm lost now. Two sentences answering the question. I think it's who takes over after that.
All right. Okay, after winding the tape and finding that they said Jerome took wings out of his back pocket, used flying to the moon, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, he then found... At the moon, he found blue cheese, which he fed to Cake Man, and Cake Man went to paranoia and died.
Okay, then now what's the question?
All right, what if Jerome took out his Glock and pointed it at Cake Egghead and did this?
Good question. Okay, gotta go. Okay, what happens when Jerome points his Glock at Egghead and starts munching?
On from typing Kyle guy.
Okay, now we go to another break.
According to Save a Tree, one 15 to 20-year-old tree produces only 700 grocery bags. Billions of paper bags are used every year. Paper bags are made from long fiber virgin paper, giving them a high ecological price tag. A bag labeled recyclable may be reused, but will never be recycled into another paper bag. Plastic bags are more convenient, but another environmental hazard. They often end up in the ocean, creating a booby trap for marine animals that swallow or become entangled in them. Even biodegradable plastic never goes away completely. It simply breaks up into smaller pieces. As a wise consumer, your best choice is conservation. Think twice before taking any bag for small purchases. If we each used one less bag per month, we could save hundreds of millions of bags every year and hundreds of trees. Operation Earth, you can make a difference.
That's right. You can make a difference by, adding to the thing going on here. 632-6901. Yo!
After all this happens?
Yeah.
I guess, wait, I forgot what happened. I just forgot. Wait, the cake man in the pocket?
When Egghead puts his Glock to... No. When... Jerome puts his Glock up to Egghead and starts munching. What happens?
Oh. Egghead looks up into the sky and notices that huge taco flying towards him. And in this taco is Captain Wolf Nipplechip. And he shoots Jerome and blows him into bits.
What's the question?
When these bits fly all over the place, one of them lands in Wolf Nipplechip's mouth.
Uh-huh.
And what happens after weeks to come?
Okay. Next.
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, Kirk Nipplechip will then will look to his younger brother, which he just found in his shoe, and say, "Excuse me, why are you ripping me off of my hockey cards?" Okay?
Okay, and what's the question?
Okay, the question will be, how come you didn't call my house yet?
Okay. I don't know where these things come from, but they come from somewhere. So, what do we do next? Kill more time. That's right, folks. 632-6901, and I ain't coming back on till these lines fill up. So, you want to listen to all these breaks? Be my guest.
Doctor, you're not going to hurt me, are you?
Is this what comes to mind when you think of going to the dentist? Well, fortunately, there is a lot more to the field of dentistry than just filling cavities or patients screaming. Hello, I'm Tom Justo, a student at SUNY Stony Brook's School of Dental Medicine and host of the talk show Big Mouth. I'll take you on a tour of all of the different and fascinating areas of the dental profession, from forensic dentistry to sterilizing handpieces to issues that affect the field as we speak. This show will take a serious and intelligent look at the profession at large and will hopefully clear up any misconceptions that people have had about the field of dentistry. Keep tuning to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM to hear Big Mouth, the first Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock p.m. Until then, keep smiling.
...632-6901, folks, and I ain't coming back until it's full.
Hello, this is Dr. Elwood, so-called expert on the study of insomnia. We have with us today Mr. Cranston, a subject that has trouble sleeping. Mr. Cranston, how long have you had this problem? Mr. Cranston, please stay awake.
Oh, sorry.
Do you have this problem often? Insomnia, I mean.
Every Sunday morning from 4 to 7 a.m.,
only on Sunday morning from 4 to 7 a.m.?
Yep, that's when the Morningstar show comes on. All my favorite metal and rock.
Mozart!
Right, the show that lives up to its name. We're going to do something interesting for the next 7 minutes or so, and we will then continue on with free format interactive media. But... This is going to be the final resolution of this story. We're going to run till the top of the hour, folks. Yo. Go.
Yeah, I have the story.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no. Play Armageddon.
Two sentences, remember.
Play Armageddon is upon us.
Yeah.
And there's only a few men that live.
Yeah.
One is Joe Benefico.
Uh-huh.
A few other people. And we formed a big clan called Joe Benefico and the Juggernauts.
Yeah.
And together, they pieced the planet back together.
Right. Okay,
and
now,
Joe Benefico leads the world.
Okay, what is the question? What's the question?
Is Joe Benefico guilty?
Okay. Okay. Was Joey Buttafuoco guilty?
Joey Buttafuoco was guilty because he confessed after showing the tape that he had in his pocket.
Okay, now what's the second sentence?
Okay, he was then put into a jail cell with the band members of Sepultura, where they used him as a drum set and sodomized him.
Okay, and what's the question?
Okay, if I don't know where Mike McFicker is, how come he didn't call me back?
Okay, next question. Okay, next.
Okay, Joe Buttafuoco gets totally out of jail, and now he runs for president. He becomes president, and one day he's sleeping at home and he finds noodles in his pocket.
Okay, what's the question?
What does he do with the noodles?
Okay, what does he do with the noodles?
Oh, Matt?
Yeah, what does he do with the noodles?
Oh, I called before about my experience in Germany.
Okay, now I'm going to put you on hold. Can you wait exactly 4 minutes?
I'll wait, okay.
4 minutes, okay? I know which line you're on.
All right.
Yo.
Yes?
Yeah, well, what happens to the noodles?
Oh, Brett Lindros beats up Joey Buttafuoco.
That's one sentence. What's next?
He eats the noodles and becomes sick and will sit out the upcoming season.
Okay, what's the question?
Who will be the Islanders' leading rookie scorer?
Wow, that hurts. I can't even answer that one. Okay, who will be the Islanders' leading rookie scorer?
The leading Islanders' leading rookie scorer would be Shmaka Magomakov, which was traded from the Rangers.
Okay. Who would be the Islanders' leading rookie scorer?
Probably Tommy Salo.
Okay, and your second question, your second sentence.
After Tommy Salo eats the noodles, he's their goalie, right?
Yeah.
After he eats these noodles and becomes the Islanders' leading scorer, Joey Buttafuoco becomes the new leading scorer of the next year, and him and Katie Beers then take over the world.
Okay, and what's the question?
What happens?
Okay, you know something? That's so cool, I'm going to end it right there. 3 minutes early, but that's okay. Actually, my watch says a minute early. What happens when Joey Buttafuoco and Katie Beers take over the world? Well, they've pretty much taken over Long Island, so, if people from outer space actually landed on Long Island, they would probably think just that. Whatever. We will now go to the less structured segment of the program. And we have a little bit of experience in Germany that I may have shared at one other time. Go for it.
All right. I have to put this in a very, in the context of the story. I was in the Army. I just joined after high school.
Yeah.
And I was sent straight to Germany.
Right.
So after being there for, I guess, about 4 or 5 months, by then I had made a lot of friends in the barracks and everything like that. And they
right.
considered me, a part of the gang, not a new person anymore. So one night, one of the people in the barracks, one of my friends, says he's going to let me in on a secret. So what he does is one round in town. And by the way, this is the part of Germany that I was in. Was very close to the Holland border.
Okay, so it's near Aachen?
Yeah, the biggest town, would be Aachen, and the nearest town in the Netherlands would be called Herlin.
Yeah.
Herlin. So what they do is they bring me to this phone booth, and we go inside, and they show me a technique in which we're able to use the phone for free and call anywhere in the world.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you. This is the technique.
Okay, I got to write this down for the next time I'm over there. Because,
keep this in mind. I was over there in 1981.
Uh-huh. May still work, considering the condition of German phones.
Well, okay, when I was over there, these were rotary phones.
Oh, they are now touch tone. They right. Not half of them don't work, but...
I don't know what's going to happen. The technique that I... that was used. I don't know if it's possible. It would be impossible to use it.
Okay, just one second.
I'll go with you anyway.
Just one second. WUSB Stony Brook. Go ahead.
Okay. This is what you do. You lift off, you know, you lift off the headpiece. You push your thumb, or any finger, but your thumb is easiest, on the letter zero, you know, on the dial. And
okay.
You have to press, while you're dialing, you have to press on it.
Uh-huh.
So you're pressing, and you go all the way around to that little, like, half moon that catches your finger.
Yeah.
Then you let it go back. Or actually, did you press on it? I can't remember if you have to press on it on the way back.
Yeah.
Anyway, you do that, zero, then you press nine. You push on it all the way till it stops.
Uh-huh.
And either you let it go or you keep pressing on it. I forget the return. You press 099. Then after that, anything, any country code, any city code, anywhere in the world that you're able to call. And it just goes straight through.
Wow.
When I was over there, I called my friends in America. I was in the phone booth when it was freezing. You know, snow all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I called, you know, just places. I called all over the world. I called Japan one night because I was bored. I just called up any number. I just said, you know, hey, what time it is? And somebody answered the phone, and they could barely understand me. But, you know.
Yeah.
So by the time, I guess, okay, I was there for 18 months. And by the time I started using this, till the time I left, on average, the phones that had worked at the beginning of my tour there had stopped. Someone had rigged the phone, I guess the phone company, to stop, you know,
yeah,
making them work, so I couldn't use this technique. So by the time I left, there was only about one or two phones that worked, you know, in the immediate area where I lived.
Right.
But at the beginning, there were like 10. So, you know, they must have became wise as to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my friends were totally amazed because I called them and I said, you know, I'm calling for free. I could just stay on the phone for like 20, 30 minutes as long as I wanted to. I called everyone.
Yeah.
You know, all over, relatives in Italy, United States, all over, you know. Did a lot of experimenting too, just to see if it would, you know, go to other parts of the world.
Yeah. You know what? Are you familiar with 2600 Magazine?
No, I haven't gotten it. I know that's Eric's, you know, magazine. I haven't gotten a copy of it yet, though.
Yeah. Okay, I don't remember what the number is to order a subscription or something like that, but next time, Eric, you can listen to him, Manuel Goldstein, on Wednesday nights, I believe, on 99.5, if you can get it.
Yeah, right.
And I think he promotes the magazine there.
Oh, I know what number you can call. He's got a number, 751-2600.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can call that and make a request. Because, and also, he's always interested in hearing stuff like that, even though that may not be particularly useful now. There may be some similar technique to it that he can use to bypass German phones.
Right.
The German telecommunications system, I can't believe for a country that does everything so well, their telephones are awful.
Well, I mean, when I was over there, the train systems, you know, ran like a Swiss watch. I mean, they were on time to the second. But this technique, I'm guessing, would probably be used by a phone repairman. You know, if you had to make a call to the office or something like that, they would just use this technique, you know, pushing on the 099, you know, pushing it on the rotary dial. So I'm guessing that's why it was, you know, first established. But I'm not sure how my friend, you know, found out about it, but anyway, they let me in on the secret. So, I mean, I must owe Germany hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Making all these calls, but there's no way they're going to find out.
Nah, at this point.
Anyway, you know, I was over there defending the country, you know, in the army, so...
Yeah.
They owed me some.
Yeah, but otherwise, did you notice that to make local calls, especially on those stupid pay phones, it was always a pain in the neck? They didn't always take the money, or it didn't always connect, it didn't...
You mean in the German phones?
Yeah.
I didn't... Let me see. I don't think I made any local calls, because... Most of the people I knew were in the barracks, and, you know, if we were going to meet German friends, we'd just go out in the bars.
Yeah.
And just meet them spontaneously. You know, I didn't, I don't remember using it for any local calls, really.
Yeah, pay calls were a real pain in the neck, because what I had to do at one point was, as I was driving into Munich, I had to get in touch with my hotel. And trying to get through on that was a pain, because I didn't have a map of the city proper. I only had maps of roads leading into it.
Yeah.
So I had to get directions. So that was awful. And then I finally pulled into a gas station and used what little German I knew to finally reach my destination. But, you know, New York City, it's not. The streets are not on a grid. You can't just figure out your way. You really got to know.
Right. I mean, I had another strange experience. Now, I'm now 32 years old, but you know,
yeah.
When I was over there, I was 17 and a half.
Uh-huh.
So I go to Amsterdam. I got, like, about a week off on leave.
Yeah.
I just roll in there, take the train, barely find my way in, you know, asking directions. And like a foolish person, I just pick any hotel. Don't even bother finding out if it's good, the price or anything like that. So I pay for my week in advance. And, you know, I'm strolling through the towns of Amsterdam, you know, through the canals and go past the Heineken factory, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Then I go back to my hotel one night, and I hear this, these people talking about me. Like, there's a room open near my room as I'm going in. Like, I guess they obviously, you know, they heard me when I was registering. You know, I think the person asked me, like, where are you from, you know, you American, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I hear these people talking, I hear them say, oh, he doesn't sound like he's from New York. You know, he doesn't talk like he's from New York. And they're talking in, like, kind of like, you know, they're men. They're talking in, like, a feminine accent. And it's pretty obvious that they're, you know, homosexual.
Yeah.
So anyway, like, I found out a little bit later that evening that this was a hotel only for, you know, for homosexuals. So what I do is I'm so upset. I don't know what the heck to do. Keep in mind that I'm 17. I just roll out of there. I don't have any money. I get on a train and go back to my barracks. And the way I was able to get back to my barracks without having any money is that when you're... When you're over there, when I was over there, they maybe one out of... I don't know. Anyway, they didn't check for your
ticket?
Train ticket.
Maybe really?
One in 100 times they would. You know, they're pretty much on the trust system, you know.
Yeah.
I was able to make it back, you know, without paying. So it was kind of strange.
Yeah. Well, nowadays it'd be a little different. We'd probably just say to the guy at the desk, I didn't know this was a gay hotel and I'm straight. He'll probably either he'll say, okay, don't worry about it, or something like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, obviously I'm a lot more mature now. But
yeah.
17, it's like...
Oh, yeah, it scared half to death.
And I remember one thing in particular about this hotel, maybe to warn anybody that goes there. As soon as you go in, the front desk, on the front desk counter, there was a piece of glass, clear piece of glass, and underneath that was, I remember, all this foreign currency from all over the world. They had, like, little coins and, you know, dollar bills from all over the world. So that's my last memory of that place.
Yeah, I've seen bars. There's a bar in Massapequa that has it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think of it now, it's like, you know, just wild experience, because I was also on the streets of Amsterdam just walking around, you know, had...
But they're from the town, definitely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if they actually went there. Berkeley's a pretty wild place.
Uh-huh.
Loved it. I was there a few weeks ago myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, really cool place. But anyway, what's on the agenda for tonight?
Nothing much.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you were gonna like put people, well, talk to people before you put them on the air.
Yeah, well, I did. I just did this totally on a whim to see what was going on. But if you don't want to talk, it's okay with me.
Oh, would this end it?
Yeah, I think we pretty much ended the story, didn't we?
Yeah, but pretty much. That was a minute.
Huh?
That was a boring story. I mean, all those people calling and stuff, it wasn't really that good.
Oh, yeah, but it's a first effort. It's a first effort. It needs work. We'll work on it.
Yeah, maybe the other time.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Okay, we will go to a break. 632-6901. If you want to get on, now's your chance, because I'm
making my list and checking it twice. I'm gonna find out who's naughty and naughtier in a minute.
I had prior knowledge of the Watergate break-in. I authorized subordinates to engage in illegal campaign tactics. I accept full responsibility for the break-in and bugging of the Democratic National Headquarters and other campaign abuses. Let me explain to you what I did about Watergate after the break-in occurred. I took part in the subsequent cover-up activities. My effort throughout has been burglary and bugging of party headquarters, obstructing justice, harassing individuals, and compromising those agencies of government that should be above politics. We, of course, must be extremely careful in the way we go about this. I shall continue to subvert the institutions of government by unlawful means. How to carry out this duty is often a delicate question. That is the simple truth.
You still. Welcome back to another 38 minutes of brain damage. 632-6901 is the number, and you know who I am. So let's find out who you are. Yo.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on.
What was that name of the band?
Name of this band, Sam I Am.
What, Sam I Am?
Yeah.
How many albums do they have?
Is this their first?
What's it called?
It's called Clumsy.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, can we talk about, the first days of school and stuff?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, it sucked.
Okay, how so?
Because teachers are, really, you know, they think they run everything.
Well, yeah, they always do that.
Well, I think that, they should, get attitude adjustments.
Okay. Details?
My math teacher, he thinks he speaks perfect English. He thinks he's from Britain. And everybody, in the class, he was explaining, a problem, from one of the first chapters.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the class was looking around, at each other because he made everybody totally confused.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Go on.
And, I don't know, most of them were like that, but mostly the math teacher. Real idiots.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Well, anyway, Will, the lines are quiet, believe it or not. I'm getting to the point where I think maybe we should just continue the story. 632-6901, and we'll see what happens when Joey Buttafuoco and Katie Beers take over the world. Maybe, maybe not. In the meantime, I'm going to play some more Sam I Am. Back live on, well, sort of live, on Brain Damage. It's now 1:38, I believe. Yes. And we'll turn down Killing Joke. Yeah. And slowly fade away. There we go. And we shall now continue with the calls. Actually, I have the poetry guy here sitting next to me. Well, actually, on the phone next to me. And we were discussing how things went in the first hour of the show. And we want to continue, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where do we want to go from here? We had Katie Beers and Joey Buttafuoco taking over the world. Just to show you what kind of imagination we're dealing with.
Oh, boy. Katie Beers and Joey Buttafuoco.
What a mix.
How old is Katie Beers?
11, I think.
Ah, very good. He's moving down one in the rungs of who he dates.
Yeah, right.
All right. So they're taking over the world. Wait, what? But what was the last question, do you know?
What happens?
Oh, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Katie Beers and Joey Buttafuoco decide to go back to the woods that the story originally started in.
Okay.
first sentence. As they walk along a trail heading north, they see a mountain peak which stands about 10,000 feet high. Okay, and the question is, let's see. How long will it take them to get to the foot of the mountain?
To the foot of the mountain?
Yeah,
Not to the top of it, just the foot of it.
Yeah, like the beginning of it, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Well, now, should I do this?
What do you want to do?
Okay, I'll do this one. As long as, let's see, we're at this 10,000-foot mountain, and it will take them as long as it takes Joey to get his big old Mark V over the terrain that has no road. And second sentence, when they finally do, Katie Beers will become so disgusted with looking at Joey that she will jump out and try to hitch a ride back to the forest. The question is, how does Joey get his big Lincoln up to the top of the mountain? 632-6901, you all know the number. And now is your chance. And you know what? I think I'll throw in a little bonus. I'll throw in a little bonus because I still have my little red button here and can always do a job on somebody if I need to. I will not screen the calls. Think I should do that?
You can give it a try. Why not?
Let's try it. Okay. Yeah.
I'll call you back, all right?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. See
okay,
ya.
See ya. Okay, 632-6901. That's right. The honor system here applies to WUSB. Wide open, no screening. Now, of course, I can just talk and bore you half to death, but it seems that people are already bored half to death, so there really isn't much to do, right? Okay, here's one. Let's see what happens. I'm almost afraid to do this, so I keep my finger tightly over that red button. Yo.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Joey Buttafuoco gets carried up the mountain.
Okay, that's one sentence.
By 1,000 chickens.
Okay, carried up the mountain by 1,000 chickens, that's one sentence. What's the second sentence?
Okay, they throw him off the mountain because they hate Joey Buttafuoco.
Okay, that's number two. And what's the question?
The question is, how much pain does Joey Buttafuoco go through when he hits the ground? And, like, what happens?
Okay, what happens when Joey hits the ground? Okay, thanks. What happens when Joey hits the ground?
My name is Florent Noël, communications expert and chief troubleshooter for the Nice Telephone Company.
Oh, please come in.
Oh, God, vive Clouseau. Okay. What happens to Joey?
That?
Yeah. What happens to Joey?
Matt, it's Kenyon.
Hey, Kenyon, what's going on?
Can't get in the building.
Can't get in the building? What do you mean you can't get in the building?
The combo lock is, like, not working.
Not working? Okay, you know what you do? Push on the door while you do the combo thing. Turn the thing back and forth, the knob.
The knob wouldn't turn at all.
They didn't change it.
Did you use it?
Use the old one. Use the old combo.
Did you use it yourself?
I used it myself earlier today. Try the old one and the new one. I don't think, because the old one still works on the other two doors. I don't think they changed the front door.
I tried the old one already. Alright, if I'm not there by when you're over.
I'll run over until you get in.
Yeah, please do.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
So now that you know how long brain damage is going to last, fill up the lines. Yo, what happens to Joey?
Thank you.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Okay, I got an answer to that one.
There is a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call
90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Ha! 632-6901, 14 minutes left in the program. And let's see what's going on the side here. Yo, how's everything going over there?
He had to leave.
He had to leave, so it's just you?
What?
It's just you.
Yeah, because he had to leave. I know that kid. I know him.
Oh, okay. That's good. Means I put a reliable person on.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was going on the side while we were trying to figure out what to do next on the show?
Oh, we were talking about school and stuff like that.
Yeah, it did start this week.
Yeah, so he was like, because he wasn't home, he was at his friend's house.
Uh-huh.
I gotta leave. I talked to him off the radio, too, anyway.
Well, yeah, brain damage slumber parties have been a tradition.
Yeah, I talked to him off the radio station.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's all right.
So, where to go with this show?
Well, you only got, a couple of minutes left.
14 minutes. Maybe more if Kenyon doesn't get his butt in here.
Oh, he's not there yet?
He's having trouble getting in the door.
Well, he's locked out?
Yeah.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
But nobody else on yet, man? Nobody calling?
Well, actually, I do have a call waiting. You want to hang on for a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yo. Hello.
Kleinfeld. There's a delivery for you, Mr. Kleinfeld.
From who? From my father and my brother. Adios, counselor.
Now, what movie was that from? You guys never tell me what movies.
Unruly, you saved your own ass.
What movie is this from? Well, that does it, folks. 12 more minutes left in the show. Go back to Jim. Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Okay. I do believe we have a strike going on here.
Why?
Because there are no calls.
Get out of here.
I am totally serious.
Damn.
Yeah, incredible, ain't it?
That down in the history book.
Gotta go down in the history book.
Damn.
First time in a while that nobody is calling the show.
Because they all got bored with the story.
Well, hey, even without a story, they still ain't calling. Unless you get these guys who are playing tapes. Well, the tapes I don't mind because they're pretty good scenes from movies.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. The whole thing with Clouseau was a riot. But,
My radio's on low, so...
Yeah. But, I don't know. We're trying to make a better brain damage for one and all. And we're going to have to do whatever it takes. Yeah, I actually have two people waiting now.
Alright.
I'm going to be going back to you every now and then.
Sure.
And then we'll see what we can do.
No problemo.
Okay, stick around. Okay. Yo.
Miss Brown said it was time for the children who ate in the cafeteria to go to lunch. She hoped there weren't any Mr. Bungles in this room. Bill almost walked past the boys' room, but he stopped and thought. Were his hands clean? No, they were a little dirty. Phil remembered that Mr. Bungle didn't wash his hands. Mr. Bungle's hair was messy, too. Phil didn't want to be like Mr. Bungle. Inside the boys' room, Phil was surprised to see some of his friends washing their hands, too. Phil washed his hands well, with lots of soap. Then he rinsed the soap off. Phil dried his hands well, too. When he was finished, he threw the paper towel in the basket where it belonged. And then he made sure that his hair looked neat. Now, Phil and his friends were ready for lunch. There was a line of children waiting to get into the lunchroom when Phil got there. He saw some boys he knew at the front of the line. They waved for him to go up to the front with them. But Phil didn't want to break into line as Mr. Bungle did. So Phil went to the end.
One thing I gotta say.
That was the fair thing to do. He put his knife, fork, and spoon neatly on the tray.
Isn't this the same voice that you hear on the driver training video, films? You're like, don't let this happen to you.
Good food in the cafeteria. And was good for him, too.
You've got to be out of your mind.
Instead of having a sandwich today, Phil decided to take the hot lunch. Phil took some bread and butter, too. And he knew what else he wanted.
God, film strips bring back memories, don't they?
Phil took the last carton on the tray. Maybe there was more milk. So he said, may I please have some milk? Phil remembered to say, may I, and please. That was very polite. Yes, there was more milk. Phil remembered to say, thank you, when he took the carton of milk. Phil had good manners. He didn't want to be like Mr. Bungle in the lunchroom. Phil didn't want to forget his dessert. The cake looked delicious. At the end of the line, the
Tony Thomas should love that.
Said she had noticed how polite Phil was, and she smiled at him. She wouldn't smile at
Mr.
Bungle.
Hey, finally got in.
Phil went to the table where his friends were. He put his tray down carefully, pulled out his chair quietly.
You know, there's one thing I used to do during these things.
He knew his friends
fall
like
asleep.
A noisy Mr. Bungle.
Hi.
I felt that the devil was intended for me.
Boom.
What?
You said boom.
Yes, yes. Fortunately, Professor Burroughs took refuge behind a new shipment of inflatable goiters, which cushioned the force of the explosion.
Inflatable goiters?
Yes, he's a Valentine's Day collection.
It's amazing that you survived.
Yes, yes. Yes, I must apprehend this mayor to Bernard before he does any more of the démarche in here.
Or she.
Please be aware of my latest movie, which will be coming out this next summer.
Oh, what's the name of it? Yo.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. I just heard you trying to change the show a little.
Yeah, so we had this little storyline going, and I think it ran its limit.
Yeah, a storyline.
Well, let's see. The whole object of the game, and it can start anywhere and end anywhere, is that from the previous caller, well, actually, the first person comes up with two sentences and a question.
Oh.
The next caller answers the question with two sentences and comes up with another question. And so on and so on and so on and so on. Didn't go over well because you're the only guy who's on the line right now, and people are obviously don't like it.
Oh, the wolf guy.
Huh?
The wolf guy.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Captain Wolf Ripple Twist. I'm not sure.
Captain who?
Wolf Ripple Twist. I forgot what his name was.
Oh, the Pac-Man or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Yeah.
So, Wolf Nipple Chip?
Oh, that's right. Okay, I thought it was Wolf Ripple Twist. I'm sorry.
And then what else is it? He-Man?
He-Man? No, He-Man wasn't involved.
Oh, no?
No, it was Incredible Hulk.
Oh, the Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, close enough.
Oh, yeah, but after that.
Yeah, then somebody had to get a shilling for the Power Rangers.
Oh, someone mentioned Power Rangers?
Yeah, half-hour-long commercial for toys. Yeah, that one.
Don't you hate them?
Oh, do I ever.
Oh, I can.
I can't stand that show. It's bad on purpose. Okay, I understand that much. But it is such an obvious commercial.
Yeah. But then, both you go.
And then Joey and that whole mess.
I know, KDB is.
Yeah.
Off nickel chip out there.
Yeah. Okay, gotta go.
Oh, but tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you gonna be there?
Oh, for the sports show?
For the Six-Men.
For what? For what? For what? Yo. Uh-oh. Is this more of the lunchroom film?
I'm not wearing underpants.
Oh, that's better.
Hamilton!
You're in big.
Jerk. Yo. Hello. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah.
Wolf Wolf Chip.
What about him?
Is he there?
No.
Where'd he go?
Who knows?
Huh?
Who knows? I don't know.
Oh.
Why would I know?
Oh, I thought he was at your station.
No.
Oh, in that Wisconsin.
Nope. Yo. That's it? That's it? That's it. Yo.
Yeah, what? 6'3"?
6'3"? Who?
John.
Who's he?
Yeah?
Yeah? Get out of here. Hello? Hello?
Depressed.
Hello?
Yeah, Chris Brown. 9?
Who?
Joey.
3 minutes left in the show. Kenyon showed up, and not a moment too soon.
Put somebody.
Huh?
Put somebody.
With somebody?
Put somebody on.
Put somebody on. Oh, you mean like what?
On the TC.
Oh, well, there's nobody here to put on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hang on. Hello?
9643?
Somebody spewing out irrelevant garbage, and that's it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hang on. Here's another idiot. How do I already know? Well, let's see. Fill up the lines. We'll find out. Yo.
If I lay here, you wanna follow?
Yo.
Not relevant garbage. Relevant good stuff.
What? No, irrelevant.
Irrelevant. 6-9?
Get out of here. Yo. I don't know, this is starting to become fun, pushing buttons and just hanging up on people. Yo.
Yo.
Yeah?
Fred?
Hello?
The reason why you're getting bad calls is because, like, all the good callers is, like, best at bedtime.
That's probably right. Yo.
Uh-huh, baby.
976 love, and this can all be yours. Can you put the phone by your butt? Now, this could either be what he thinks it is, or it could be a dual Slurpee brain freeze. We're not sure which. Now, Now, here's the question. Are we voyeurs at heart, or are we just trying to figure out what this really is?
Kyle, Mimi, it's almost time for Jason. Come on, children, come downstairs.
And that's a good way to end that one. Yo.
Where's Tyrone?
Where's Tyrone?
Yeah.
You tell me.
What, he's at the Axel?
I have no idea what happened to Tyrone. Didn't he, like, unload his Glock on Egghead?
On Egg, 49, Joe Barfico?
Nah, something like that. Yo.
Yo, Betty?
Yeah.
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 Am I?
Huh? Yo.
Yeah, I called earlier. I got cut off or something.
Yeah, what do you want to do?
I think the Jets should go 2-0 tomorrow. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, what about, I don't know, the Giants are in for a tough game in Arizona, though.
Yeah, but Buddy Ryan always finds a way to screw these things up. What's the spread on the Jets?
I think they're up by 3.
3?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'd take it. Jets over Broncos, 3. I think I'd take that. What's the Giants spread?
I'm not sure. I think Arizona's favored, though.
Arizona's favored?
Probably by like less than 5, I think.
If it's by less than 5, you take the Giants.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Yo.
Less than 5, you take the Giants. Okay, thanks. Yo. Less than 5, you take the Giants.
Telephone to the speaker trick. That's right. It's 2:01, folks. I'm just about ready to leave.
Telephone to the speaker trick. That's right. It's 2:01, folks. I'm just about ready.
Hey.
Yes, how you doing? I just heard you talk about all the garbage that's coming on the air.
Yeah.
My God, I can't believe it.
What?
49683. 47. Did you get that?
What's that, an audible for an end run?
And Joe Buttafuoco.
Okay, now, wait a minute. What is the audible for an end run? I better ask somebody. Yo.
Really hard. Really hard, like if he was up inside of my pussy.
Yum, yum. It's 2:02. I'm 2 minutes over, and where is Kenyon? Okay, get your butt over here before I have to put up with any more of these calls. Run, Kenyon, run. See Kenyon, run. See Kenyon, run with his opening CD. See Kenyon, look for his opening CD.
I'm not exactly ready.
Okay, well, run, Kenyon, run. Yo. Hello. Hello. Hello? Hey, Nirvana on 45, yeah! Yo. Huh?
Hey,
hello? 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 How long can you hold a note? Hello? Twit. Yo. Okay. Continue the line surf. Yo. Yo. Line surfing still? Yo.
You stick my dick in your...
Yo.
I'm in here today.
Huh? What?
Anything else you can say?
Hello? 204, I'm out of here. Bye-bye.